Hello, and welcome to the American Marketing Association's Marketing Power Podcast on Battle of the Sexes, Gender-Specific Gaze Differences. I'm your host, Nancy Piccalo, Senior Director of Online Content for the AMA. And we're very excited to welcome our special guest, Jeff Bander, who is Senior Vice President of Client Services for iTrack Shop, formerly MRC International. Jeff has the company's New York City office while building and managing a dedicated domestic sales team in the U.S. He assists in the development and growth of a varied international client roster, including Procter & Gamble, Google, GroupM, and Clear Channel Outdoor, among others. Prior to joining iTrack Shop, Jeff served as a Senior Vice President of Client Services of NeuroFocus, Inc., where he was responsible for leading their rapidly expanding revenue growth. In addition, he served as Head of Sales at Hollywood Media Corporation and World Now, where he tripled revenue and built a national sales network of more than 100 account managers. He has also served as a senior sales executive of Cox Interactive and the Bell South Advertising and Publishing Corporation. And you can connect with Jeff on LinkedIn. Jeff, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Nancy, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Your firm recently did some interesting research on differences in gender regarding perceptions of advertising and product packaging, and I was hoping that you could start off by providing our listeners with some background on that research you conducted and what prompted that research.
Sure. Just a little background. We've had a lot of clients who really want to understand more how to market to male and female clients. We have some clients that are strictly targeting females, some males, some both, and so that kind of gave us the idea that we should do some testing along those lines to really see some of the things that we had an idea about, but what was interesting is we really had some great learnings, and our clients were pretty excited about what the learnings were. So it was really to really help understand some of the preconceived notions that some people have about how men and women look at certain types of ads, and we wanted to see, are they real, those preconceived notions, or are they not? And one of the beautiful things about the eyeline eye tracking is that eyes don't lie. What you saw, and what you didn't see. And, basically what we do is basically tell people what they saw, what order they saw it, how long they looked at it, and what percentage of people saw which area. So it was really an interesting study.
Great, and clearly marketers have been aware for quite some time that there are differences that they need to keep in mind when targeting men and women. Could you talk a little bit about what the research revealed about the way men and women perceive ads or packaging?
Certainly. What we found was is very interesting. One of the our clients also found interesting is that, and obviously on the podcast we can't see the ads that we studied, but one particular ad was an H&M ad, and it was showing a beautiful woman in a bikini, and that was the product. And what was interesting is that the men, the way they looked at the ad, first they looked at the face, then the body, whereas women looked at the body first. And there were some hypotheses of why that is, but a lot of people were surprised. What also is interesting is men looked and stayed at the face 40% more time than the women before moving down and looking at the rest of the body. So that was quite a surprise to a lot of people. And, we have some hypotheses of why that is, but it was pretty enlightening.
Yes, indeed. I think your research showed that men do spend more time gazing at faces while women spend more time gazing at shoes on models and the ads, which, of course, comes as no surprise if you're a female listener. But we're wondering, what impact do you think this insight has on marketing campaigns, and was there anything else that came out of that research that surprised you?
Well, we also found, and what was interesting, the test that was published was from the test we did in Sweden. And at first we wondered, is this a Swedish phenomenon? So we did other testing in U.S. and U.K. and found really the exact same thing, that men looked at the faces first, women looked at the bodies first. But what also was interesting is women spent a lot more time, 20% more time, looking at the text. And so what we're learning is that a few of the learnings that we gather is that, again, this product is for women. The second ad that we did that also worked the same way was a Reebok ad that also had a woman that showed a lot of skin, and it was the exact same thing as far as men looking at faces first, women looking at the body first. And so what we have to think about is that depending on the product, depending on you know, what you're selling, you need to be really cognizant of how you present that product and text, whether you're marketing to men or women. A few of the things that we found also, which was interesting, is that in a lot of our studies, we find that women will spend more time on an ad if there's some social interaction, whereas for men, it's not as important.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I certainly think that's a really interesting insight for marketers, particularly when they're looking at advertising campaigns, which typically the focus tends to be on the creative rather than the text or logo placement or things like that. How about in terms of doing your research, were there any other factors that were taken into account, such as age, background, income level of those being included in the survey?
Well, we took a pretty wide scale, 25 to 55 as far as age. And we didn't get into too much background. Income levels were, were similar. And when we broke it down, the statistics were also similar. Now, one thing that is interesting, when you get in the higher age group, spent less time on the peripheral, on the outside objects on the page. And that was across the board, which is interesting because we know that there's some speculation that people's memory does not focus and memory does not go as does not maintain. But what we're finding out is it really is their focus is good. It's just the peripheral is more distracting for people who are older, which is another really important insight. If you're marketing to older people, you want to have clean rads, less distractions. Whereas in the younger groups, you can put more items on the periphery.
That's a really good point. Could you talk a little bit about the methodology itself? What role does eye tracking play or can it play in marketing approaches and strategies today as marketers look at really targeting their messages to key groups?
Sure. And online eye tracking is really a tremendous tool for a lot of reasons. One, it's, first of all, it's not the answer to everything. The bottom line is that what people see, they see, and what they don't see, they don't see. And that is one of the takeaways that is a big takeaway for our clients is sometimes what they didn't see is just as important as what they saw. But let me just walk through. It's really simple. We do a double opt-in, so people don't have to wonder if they're being spied on. There's a link that's sent, and doing it through a webcam gives clients the ability to do eye tracking very, very reasonably priced. We really priced it where it's almost impossible not to do it. You get your results in 48 hours, and you can literally test the whole world at once because it's done through a webcam. Now, there's no software, no hardware. And basically, they'll get a link, and it'll say, we want your permission to participate in an eye tracking test. They click on, they give permission, and then it asks you to make sure that you have good lighting, the lighting's in front of you. And then the second permission is to turn on your webcam. And once they turn the webcam on, a little silhouette comes so that you're centering your face to the screen. And then there's a calibration process that takes a few seconds where a little dot goes across the screen. And the web camera starts taking pictures of your eyes. And that's how it tracks where you're looking. Then you see the stimuli. And after the stimuli, we go through an online questionnaire. And these questionnaires are targeted to really answer what is the main goal? Is it a branding question? Is it purchase intent? Is there emotional questions? These are the things that we typically ask. But it's a simple process, you know, and the beauty is the simplicity. And again, the reason our clients love it is it's a great way to get really good insights quickly, actionable insights, and do it in an affordable way.
That's good. I just have one last question that sort of piggybacks on that. Are there any scenarios or situations you think where eye tracking is a methodology that should be sort of integrated in an organization's overall marketing approach? Are there any areas where it's more beneficial than others?
Well, I think it has to. It's not going to answer, like I said, all the questions. A lot of our clients will come to us with, say, five or six creatives, and they want to understand what's working the best as far as connecting. Where are people noticing the brand? Where are they noticing the call to action? And then they'll pick the top two and run with those. We've done a lot of package research. Very, very good to understand packaging, print ads, online websites. We do a lot of websites. Companies come to us with multiple options. One of our good clients is Snapfish. Google is a client of ours, P&G. I can't mention all of them because some of them are a little nervous about it. We also do Shopper Insights, which is shelf sets, which, again, is a great way to understand multiple shelf sets, putting the product in different areas on the shelf and see where is it noticed the best. Two studies we're doing on a large scale is clients are coming to us and saying, you know, I advertise on five websites. Our budgets are tight. We can only advertise on three. So we'll put their ad on all five websites and then be able to tell them which of the three they really should be advertising.
That's great. I think those are really good ways to use eye tracking, which I think is becoming really more a more acceptable methodology for traditional marketers today.
It is.
These have been really great insights, Jeff, about the ways in which men and women perceive advertising and product packaging. We've been talking to Jeff Bander today from iTrack Shop, and thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. And make sure you sign up for the RSS feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Bacala. Thank you for joining us.